You're listening to the Prepper Recon Podcast. For questions, comments, and podcast archives, go to PrepperRecon.com. Ready-Made Resources is a trusted name in the prepper community because they've been around for 18 years. They offer great prices on night vision, water filtration, long-term storage food, solar energy components, and provide free technical service. Get ready for an uncertain future at ReadyMadeResources.com. Trading Post in the Woods is ran by veteran crisis responders who know how important it is to be prepared. They specialize in comprehensive natural survival remedy kits, preparedness and homesteading supplies, as well as skills training. Visit them online today at tradingpostinthewoods.com. Today's guest is Bob Griswold of readymaderesources.com. Bob, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's always good to be here. I definitely enjoy doing this podcast with you. And I think there's a lot of stuff going on right now. And to me, it is really amazing that so many people think that somehow with the election of Donald Trump, which I definitely, if you remember, supported quite strongly, that we somehow skipped the Great Tribulation and entered right into the millennium. And I think that's anything but the case right now. I think we're seeing the development of some very, very ominous events in our country that are going to spell difficult times for whatever side of the political spectrum you're on. I think we are going to see some real division that's going to cause violence and other things that we do not suspect that are right around the corner. We see it developing right now. We are in the preamble to a civil war, and that's my opinion. And I think there's a lot of factors we could talk about today that will shine a light on it and why I believe that and what is coming down the road.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you. We're just seeing this ongoing bifurcation of America, and it's definitely not subsiding. I was watching Reuters news, which is it's really turned into like a TMZ type thing where they just grab one of the flunky interns to provide commentary on stuff now. You know, Reuters used to have some standards that you thought that maybe it would be a little something different besides CBS or ABC or, you know, the rest of the fake news. And they were commenting on they were lambasting Kellyanne Conway for sticking up for Ivanka's product line after she was railroaded by Nordstrom. And it's funny that they never had a foul word about Hillary's campaign and the Clinton Foundation accepting funds from Saudi Arabia or Oman or Qatar. And what do you think the media's role is going to be in all of this this bifurcation that you're talking about?
Well, for those of you who are vaguely familiar with history, I would just use a name. I would say Joseph Goebbels. They are the propaganda ministry for this third, fifth element for this civil war. They are promoting it. They are backing the what I would call the Axis powers at this time. And I want to say something here. As a Christian, I am bred. God has put peace in my heart. Violence is the antithesis of what a Christian wants. We want to live peacefully with one another. The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called the children of God. So my goal and my desire is to live at peace, but with that said, I cannot live at peace with people who want to promote absolutely godless philosophy on humanity. I cannot live in peace with them. I do not want to reach across the aisle and shake hands with the devil. I do not want to do it, and I won't do it. So we are seeing this news media develop these sides to where they are joining what I would call the Axis powers in this country. We have two political governments operating within one geographic boundary right now. We have the people that have basically voted for Trump that want libertarianism, individual freedom, freedom from the overreach of government. We want the government to live within the constitutional mandates that are given to them, and that's all we want. And then we have these other people that want to have government expand to where it is their God, to where everything is controlled by government. The government is in charge of every aspect of our life from womb to tomb, everything we do, how we breathe, how we eat, how we live, whatever. They want this. And these sides are not – there is no common ground between them. We are so far in polar opposites that I cannot in good conscience yield to their beliefs. And because of the religious nature of these beliefs for them, they are not going to yield to me, which has made it very clear. They have been the ones that have demonstrated with violence, with all manner of wickedness. They've come out against people who stand up who support Donald Trump or the Constitution or Christian values or whatever. They've proven that they're willing to attack us, beat us. They're willing to slander us. They're willing to do anything they can to degrade our position. And that the position is that we want to have what was given to us by our founding fathers. We had a republic given to us, that the government has to live by the law just like everybody else. The government is bound by the law just like everybody else. That the government has a very limited role in the day-to-day way citizens manage their lives, and yet these people want to have the government involved in every aspect of my life. And I cannot and will not reach across the aisle to do anything with them. I will withstand them tooth and nail. I will withstand them with every breath that I have in my lungs to say this is not good for humanity. This will end poorly. There has never been a historical situation where you have a government do what these people want to do where lots you don't have lots and lots of body bags. And you know, I'm just seeing a story right now from a Georgetown professor, at Georgetown, telling it's okay for men to own women and use them as sex slavery. I mean, it's on Drudge Report. You can read it. I'm not making it up. They don't call it rape. They call it non-consensual sex. I mean, it staggers our mind what we see going on, and yet America somehow we've developed this mentality that if we get just one right man in the government, that somehow everything's going to change. Well, you know, what I see in this is a good friend of mine, Steve Quayle, said he had a prophecy from God. And you know, a lot of times I don't listen to those because I hear everybody say, I've had this, that, the other thing, Mark, you know, of these prophecies. But he said, before God judges America, but by the Russians and Chinese with nuclear weapons, that he's going to reveal the sins of America's leaders to its people. You know, Donald Trump is doing just that. The Trump administration is pulling the blanket off the absolute corruption and vile wickedness that have been institutionalized at every level of our federal government. Everywhere you look, they just practice corruption, wickedness, evil. We see the pedophilia. We see the absolute just pride. We see the perversion and every level of what they're operating on. And they care nothing about the rule of law. They think they're above the rule of law. They do whatever they want to do. And so we are a people that are in dire danger, and I want to issue this warning to people that, you know, we grab ourselves and shake ourselves to say, you know, God has given us this man, Donald Trump, to reveal to us what is going on, and he's not afraid to pull the lid off of it. Now, he's not a perfectly upright and perfect male. Most men of God that God has used hasn't. I mean, David, look what David did. Look what Moses did. Look what Solomon did. These were not perfect men, but God used them. Just because he used those men, it did not. Just because David was king or Solomon was king or Moses did what he did, it did not preclude the fact that God still brought judgment on the land. A lot of times he used those people to reveal the sins of what their people were doing and then brought judgment. So I think Donald Trump is going to fit this bill, that he is going to show America how greatly divided we are, how much corruption there is in our government, and how embedded this nation is in its commitment to wickedness.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. The dollar's lost over 90% of its purchasing power since 1971. Silver, on the other hand, has proven to be a very stable form of wealth preservation over the years. And where do you buy silver? Silver.com, of course. Silver.com offers fantastic prices on gold and silver. Check out silver.com today. Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, CampingSurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, and water filters. Use coupon code PREPRECON for 5% off your order at CampingSurvival.com. The debt ceiling's always been a topic that triggers a lot of heavy contention between the left and the right. And we're coming up on that in just a few days here. Do you have any thoughts that might be something that's going to trigger an even greater divide between the left and the right?
Well, of course it will. I mean, you know, Donald Trump has promised to rebuild the military. That's, you know, hundreds of billions, if not trillions of dollars. You know, rebuild our nuclear force, rebuild all that. He has promised to spend trillions on infrastructure. to rebuild that. The dam in California is just the tip of an iceberg of a collapsing America. Our bridges, our roads, our infrastructure, the plumbing, underground, major cities, the sewage plants, all these things, they're crumbling. We have spent money foolishly on, you know, entitlement programs, giving people money that do not want to work, and while we've neglected the infrastructure of America. So there's trillions that need to be invested there. He's promised to build a wall. I mean, all these promises, there is no money to do this. And I don't see how he's going to be able to pull any of it off, because the reality is we are flat broke. And when the next time, which is, I guess, in a couple of weeks, the debt ceiling is going to come up for vote, I'm curious to see what has happened. You know, we were talking about David Stockman, Ronald Reagan's former budget director, just before the program, and he is saying this is going to be a catastrophic vote when all of a sudden all the banksters, all the stock market people, all these people that are investing thinking that the party's never going to end are really going to realize that there is no more money, that we are flat broke. And not only flat broke, we are insolvent to a degree that no nation in the history of the world has ever been insolvent. We owe $20 trillion that we admit, but we still owe all these unfunded liabilities of somewhere between $120 and $200 trillion. You know, we can use those. We can say trillions. We might even be selling bazillion gazillions, because it's so much money, it staggers our mind to even think. We can't even think on those levels. That is so far in debt that we've become absolutely numb to the reality of our financial position in this country. And it's not only the federal government, but you saw these pension plans are running out of money. The states are running out of money. California's running out of massive deficit. Personal debt. People just owe just trillions of dollars in personal debt. Then you have education debt. You have car debt. You have house debt. You have consumer debt. The whole economy is built on this debt cycle. And when the money dries up, it's the only thing that's keeping this economy going right now is the fact that people are spending money they do not have. And so when we finally face this reality, this bubble, which David Stockman, who's much, much smarter than I am, says it's right around the corner, and when that finally bursts, it's going to be catastrophic. And what better way for this Axis power that's operating within our government to do is to blame it all on Donald Trump, to make him look like he's the guy who did it all. If he had just played ball like everybody else, everything would have been fine. And the fact is, it isn't. I really do think that we are at you talk about division with the vote. I really do think we're at the blue-gray moment in our country. And what I mean by that is, you know, the Civil War, where it's 1860. The thought of Barack Obama bringing Valerie Jarrett and others into his home to form some type of insurgent, seditious government is unbelievable that we would see that. We've never seen it in our times. Generally, when presidents left the White House, they left and they remained quiet, and they let their predecessor do what he needed. I mean, you know, the new president do what he needed to do, and they just remained quiet in the background. But no, these people are going to absolutely cause pandemonium in every way they can. And again, we talked about this fifth element. The news media is just one aspect of it, which it is a very, very powerful aspect. But we also have the education industry, which has churned out several generation now of snowflakes that absolutely believe that the world revolves around them, they've been taught absolute Marxist socialist values, that they think that we have to share everything, that my labor somehow belongs to them, that my creativity somehow belongs to them, and if they don't get their fair share of it, then they're going to have hurt feelings, and all these things that they have, you know, they're going on for sensitivity training, whatever. We've raised a generation of children that are absolutely incapable of facing reality. On top of that, we have the Hollywood, which, you know, these people are moral degenerates, and they're trying to pontificate upon how we should live, and they do everything they can do to undermine Christian conservative values. I mean, I saw Martin Sheen lecturing Donald Trump on how he raised Ivana. I mean, doesn't Martin Sheen realize he has a Charlie Sheen there somewhere? I mean, think of that. Think of the hypocrisy of lecturing Donald Trump on how he raised Ivana Trump, and then he has Charlie Sheen running around there doing what he's done.
That's insane.
I mean, that's, you can't see the forest for the trees. I mean, you know, if I think I would kind of remain quiet on that one. But we see – and the other thing we see is that half the government now looks like they're at odds with the other half of the government. You have people in the GS-9, GS-10 level of government that Barack Obama has had 8 years to put in power. These people are just saying, we're not going to implement Donald Trump's policies. We're not going to do it. And there's thousands and thousands of these workers that can just be, you know, monkey wrenches in the works. They will not do what they're ordered to do. They'll drag their feet. They'll sabotage it. And then when they sabotage it, they'll try to make Donald Trump look like he did it. I mean, this is how bad it is within our government right now. It is dire. And I know there's a lot of people out there saying right now, sunny days are here for America again. You know, I would come to that conclusion if I saw one thing. If I saw repentance within the church, if I saw a call of humiliation, a call of basically fasting in sackcloth and ashes of the church calling out saying that we have murdered 70 million children, we've lived in pride, we've lived in excess, we've tolerated that which God does not tolerate. We have when we should have spoken up, we have not spoken up. We didn't speak up abortion, we haven't spoke up with same-sex marriage, we haven't spoke up with the Islamification of our culture, we haven't spoke up on any of these things as the Church of Jesus Christ. We've actually got in bed with these people and somehow try to condone these behaviors to say that they're normal, and then we should celebrate in some type of perverse diversity with it. But it's not there. God is not going to tolerate these things, and he is going to bring judgment on our land for it. So we might see this inflation of the economy, that everything looks good, but the underlying structure of our economy right now, of our country right now, I think is in a dire predicament.
You were talking about the split inside of government. I think that's going all the way through the top law enforcement agencies, the intelligence agencies, where you've got people who are almost fighting for control in there, that are either pro-Trump or anti-Trump. And I think that the civil war you're talking about, I think it's beginning in D.C.
What's at the preamble of it right now? You see the preamble of the verbiage of civil war being used in our country. Now, I've lived through a lot of administrations, even Reagan. Reagan came in and he was basically iconoclastic in some ways, came in there and just started smashing down some of the idols that people had put up. And yet, at the end of the day, there was still somewhat of civility between the Republicans and Democrats. There was a lot of political, you know, disagreement, but never did I see open calls for rebellion and sedition that I see now coming out of the left, the Democratic Party. There's open calls for sedition, and nobody's doing anything. Sedition is a capital offense in our country, and yet these people are openly calling for sedition. So, the verbiage is leading towards something else. The conditioning is leading us to this, what I call blue-gray moment, 1860 moment, when finally somebody's going to say we are no longer in any ways compatible. We have developed two completely different political systems in this country that are not compatible. They're not congruent. We cannot get along. And when that moment happens, and I don't know when it is, but when that moment happens, we're going to see what history has shown over and over again is that people want to separate into the groups that they agree with. And sometimes that can be done peacefully, generally not. Generally it's done violently. Now, and I know from just looking at the situation right now, the Christian people don't want this. I don't hear the Christian people calling for insurrection. I didn't see the Christian or conservative people calling for, you know, open hostility towards Barack Obama. We didn't like him. We despised a lot of what he did, but we did not openly call for his, we didn't call for his death. These people are calling for Donald Trump's death. And so the Christian people, have been the ones, the Christian and the conservative people, have been the ones looking for reconciliation. But it comes every day that goes by, we see that they move further and further away from any attempts at possible reconciliation and attempts that they want to destroy our government. I mean, you look just at the State of the Union address. They would not stand up and say we support the protection of law enforcement. So what are they saying? They want more law enforcement people shot, killed? I mean, that's how I take it. I mean, they wouldn't stand up for the Pledge of Allegiance. They wouldn't stand up for a wife whose husband sacrificed his life for our country.
We've never seen that type of treatment of Obama or anyone from the right.
No.
We've never seen this type of treatment from the left. This is as bad as it's ever been. I mean, this is the modern day equivalent of, you know, the early years when you had senators and congressmen beating each other with canes and having duels.
Yes. So, I mean, it's where we're at. It's unpleasant. Nobody wants it. I mean, Mark, anybody who has actually seen violence in a scale where I think it's coming is a fool that wants that kind of violence. Only a fool wants it. People realize that peace is a blessed thing, to live at peace with my neighbor, to live at peace with my fellow man. And you know, even though I might disagree with him strongly, but just still we can say we live at peace with each other. That is such a blessing in a country to have. It's been a historic anomaly to have that for long periods of time, generally because of our sin condition. We do not live that way. We find that, as James said, we lust after what our neighbor has, and it provokes war and dissension among us. And so you see these people that have been told all along for just generations that what you and I work for, somehow they can indenture me to tax my labor, and so that they can live a life that they don't earn for themselves, but somehow they're entitled to it. I mean, there are millions and millions of people that have come out of the government school systems that believe that. And those people are not going to change their beliefs. We have a transsexual movement in this country that's telling young men that somehow they can choose what sex they are. DNA doesn't lie. That's scientific fact. DNA does not lie. You can put, you know, like I said, you can dress up a pig to be whatever you want, but it's still a pig. I mean, it is what it is. So we have this generation that's been raised to believe that somehow reality has been suspended for them, and it's not.
That's the end of the first half of my interview with Bob Griswold of ReadyMadeResources.com. Tune in next week for the rest of the show.
In A Haunt for Jackals by best-selling author Mark Goodwin, Danny Walker's survival retreat has been devastated by violence since the detonation of the EMP. Regent Slusher's designs on absolute power have already brought him to Danny's doorstep once, leaving a trail of blood and heartbreak in his wake. Another conflict with a malicious dictator will spell certain death for the remaining members of the compound. Danny's only hope is to infiltrate Slusher's camp and bring him down from the inside. It's a risky proposition. If he is caught, he'll be executed as a spy, but there is no other alternative. In this epic struggle between good and evil, Danny's mettle will be tested, his faith will be tried, and he'll have to dig deep for the courage to continue. Buy your copy of A Haunt for Jackals, Book 3 of 7 Cows, Ugly and Gaunt, in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition from Amazon.com today.